Hello and welcome to the Meg Method podcast, the podcast that helps you move, think and feel better for life and hopefully without feeling like you have to give up your whole life and all the things you enjoy to do so. And I think that is a timely thing to say today as it is Good Friday. Easter weekend is here. And with it, for many of you, I imagine may come the potential for a lot of food related festivities. Now, I'm not religious myself, but Easter is one of, if not the most important day in the Christian calendar. Every year, Christians all over the world remember Jesus's crucifixion and celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday. But whether you are religious or not, a part of Easter celebrations that seems to have become well adopted over the years and is almost a thing in itself now is giving and eating chocolate eggs. And from my years of experience as a coach, to Easter egg or not to Easter egg can be quite a common internal battle for people who have fitness goals at this time of year. So for today's episode, I wanted to give you firstly a little background into how this whole chocolate Easter egg giving phenomenon started. If you are a curious cat like me, hopefully you'll enjoy some of the information I found on this. But I also wanted this episode to hopefully be a comfort to anyone who does have any internal debates around food during these holiday periods, because what you are feeling is real. You are certainly not alone. And I unfortunately think the fitness industry as a whole can often be more confusing than helpful with things like this. So first up, allow me to take you on a mini history of the chocolate Easter egg. Now, throughout history and science, I suppose, eggs have been a symbol of birth and new life. And therefore, as we come into the spring, a new season in the year, a season that also is seen as a time of growth where lots of vegetation begins to appear. For centuries, people have given each other eggs during the springtime as a symbolic gift to celebrate this new season that we're entering, to welcome this new beginning, so to speak. And supposedly, in the medieval period, eating eggs was forbidden by the church during the 40 days before Easter, otherwise known as Lent. So giving eggs on Easter Sunday used to be a very appropriate and appreciated gift, I imagine, after people had abstained from eating eggs for 40 days. It was particularly appreciated as well if you were poor and couldn't afford to buy higher protein products like meat. So egg gifting became this well-accepted gift that had all of this meaningful symbolism with it, and the timing was appropriate. And people would also then give eggs to the church on Good Friday as an offering. They would also be gifted to lords of the manor at Easter. And so this egg gifting continued to evolve over time and just become more elaborate, which us humans are very dramatic, aren't we? So we just can't help ourselves. So it makes sense that this egg gifting thing had to just get bigger and badder every year. So instead of just gifting plain eggs, people then started to decorate eggs before gifting them. And in Lancashire in the UK in the 18th century, pace eggs became a thing. Now, if you're wondering what on earth is pace eggs, you're not alone. I thought the same. And this was where people would hard boil hen, goose or duck eggs, and then they'd decorate them. And then they would perform an egg roll where you essentially would roll your decorated hard boiled egg down a hill as part of a race to see whose egg rolled the furthest without breaking. Another human thing. Of course, we turned it into a competition. So you decorate your eggs, you roll them down the hill and you'd see who's got the furthest without breaking. Now, some believe this egg roll event was started as a symbolic reenactment of when the stone was rolled away from Christ's tomb in the Bible. And some believe it was for a bit of fun. Either way, it has lasted the test of time, as they still do a big egg roll race every year in Preston, Lancashire. And there is also a very famous egg roll race that takes place at the White House in Washington, D.C., America, of all places, every Easter. And if you thought it stopped there, you know this is where decorating eggs and rolling them down a hill was still not enough for us humans. We decided to upgrade this ancient egg-gifting tradition and give it a sweet tooth. So in the 19th century, France and Germany started producing chocolate eggs for people to enjoy. But as first drafts go, the feedback was that they were quite bitter and hard, which then got other chocolatiers giving it a crack, excuse the pun. And in 1873, the UK confectionery company Fry's sold the first English chocolate egg, and this was soon followed by other chocolatiers like Cadbury's in 1875. So the first Easter eggs were made using dark chocolate, and they were just smooth and plain. And then in 1897, the famous dairy milk chocolate egg was birthed by Cadbury's, and we clearly haven't looked back since. So that is a little history as to where we have gotten to now and where it feels like as soon as Christmas is out of the way, chocolate eggs just take over the food world. And you would struggle to walk into a modern food store at this time of year and not see shelves upon shelves of Easter eggs themed chocolate of all different combinations, sizes and flavours. Which brings me now to the second part of this episode, where I recognise that this can be a big challenge for some people. If you have fitness related goals right now, and you are really trying to focus on fueling yourself well and improving what food you are putting into your body, holiday events like Easter and Christmas can be really challenging. They can be very food oriented, and there's lots of social get-togethers and lots of opinions flying around. So you can be left with this internal conflict of whether you should have an Easter egg or not have an Easter egg. And you'll have some fitness influencers telling you to eat all the chocolate you want. It doesn't matter. It's guilt-free, you know, live, laugh, love. It's self-care. You'll start again next week. Then you'll have other influencers telling you to avoid chocolate at all costs. If you have chocolate this weekend, then you clearly just don't want your goals enough. So frankly, I do not blame anyone who currently feels confused and like their head is about to explode from all of these mixed messages. There is just so much noise sometimes that it is hard to hear yourself think. And this is where I think influencing and coaching, again, are very different. I talked about this a few episodes back, but my job is not to influence you to agree with my opinion on how to live the healthiest lifestyle, nor is it to encourage you to make a certain decision. My job as a coach is to create more leaders, not followers. I could not give a flying monkey how many followers I have. Hand on heart, I really don't care. Because the way I see it, my job as a coach is not to get you to follow me. My job is to coach you on how to become a leader, to help coach you into becoming a person who knows how to think and show up for yourself. And to relate this back to the question of to Easter egg or to not Easter egg this weekend, that answer depends entirely on you as an individual and what your values and ultimately your goals currently are. Now, that answer might frustrate a lot of you, and you might even find that unhelpful because you were hoping I would tell you what to do, just give you a clear answer. But that's not coaching. There is not one right way to do health. That's why for me, it's always an open discussion and why context is needed and is so important. That's why I do that free coaching call on my website. It's not a trap. It's genuinely to open up a discussion to see what you're at and what you need right now and what better health could look like for you, because it's not all one the same. I can't just give you a cookie cutter thing that everyone can follow and that's going to be the right thing for you. I don't tell my clients what to do and expect them to blindly follow me. I have an open discussion with them. I then ask them powerful questions and create resources for them that will help them discover answers for themselves. The right answer to this question is going to depend on some self-reflection from you. There are 365 days in the year, 366 on a leap year. And I could quite easily say one day, one weekend doesn't matter. Because sure, it shouldn't in the grand scheme of things, but it might matter to you and where you are currently at right now. For you, saying yes to Easter eggs or family food festivities this weekend might be the right choice. You might be working on fears around food right now and letting go of control. That would help you on your journey towards that. For someone else, saying no to Easter eggs is the right choice this weekend. You might always be saying yes to food, and up until recently, it was your main coping mechanism, but you're finally starting to have better boundaries and you don't want to stop when you feel like you've only just got started. On reflection, you might be someone that doesn't even care. You might eat chocolate because it's there and you can, but if it wasn't within sight, you wouldn't give it a second thought because you've realised it's not a novelty and you can have chocolate whenever you want. There doesn't have to be some big reason. To Easter egg or not to Easter egg, the right answer is the one that feels right for you and where you are at right now. And what I'd say to that is if you want better answers, start asking better questions. So to finish the episode, here are some better questions that you could ask yourself going into the weekend. What do you want to welcome into your life right now? What different ways could you bring joy into your life this weekend? And could you explore a number of these options so that you're not putting all the weight and pressure on one thing, like food, for example? And finally, what would you do if nobody was watching? I love this question because it encourages me to fade out other people's opinions and really be honest with myself and about what I really want and need in this moment. And I've actually done a whole episode of that. Check out episode 115 if you want to deep dive into that question a little bit further. But whatever you decide is the right answer for you this weekend, I wish you a great one. And I hope this episode can be encouragement to think about the questions that you are answering, asking yourself. If you're struggling to find an answer, mix up the question. So have a great weekend, whatever you decide. Thank you for being here. It's always appreciated. Be kind, be curious, be well, big love, and I'll speak to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to the Meg Method podcast. If you want to learn more about my coaching and access some free coaching resources, please visit my website, themegmethod.com, or send me a message at themegmethod on Instagram. I would love to learn to know you. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, I would be so grateful if you could please share the love forward. You can show your support in three simple ways. You could please subscribe by clicking the follow button on your favorite podcast platform or YouTube. You could send details of my coaching to a loved one, or you could share this episode with others by tagging me in your social media stories at The Meg Method. Just see the show notes for more details. And if you're feeling extra kind, it would make my day if you could please leave a review. Thank you to my legendary podcast team, Brooklyn Fraser and Alicia Navarro. Your hard work and expertise is always appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Have an excellent day. Try your best. Be kind. Big love.